Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Fightful Select 205 Live NXT UK recap show. I am Mr. Warren Hayes, and if you're looking at this and you're like, wow, a Fightful Select podcast appearing right here on the main Fightful.com channel, Matt, they must have messed up. They must have, they're probably not publishing at the right place. I shouldn't tell anyone about this. Yeah, I should keep this for myself because I'm getting paid content for free. Well, buddy, pal, got news for you. This is a free preview that we're offering the universe so that they can get a taste, they being everyone in the universe, get a taste of the fantastic, outstanding content that you get as a Fightful Select member. Now, if you're not familiar with Fightful Select, maybe it's the first time you hear about it. Don't know how, but maybe it could be. And you're over here on, you hang out on Fightful.com. Maybe you're not quite aware of what it is. Fightful Select is the subscription service for Fightful.com, which offers you a ton extra content just for you people. Just for all of you who want and can't get enough wrestling content. We've got all of that over on Fightful Select. You get, I do this every week, every Wednesday, 205 Live NXT, NXT UK. You have Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor, Fightful. He does the Fightful report every week, every Wednesday as well. We have Steven Jensen, who does the Weekender report, covering all sorts of non-WWE programming, non-WWE news. We got retro pay-per-view reviews. We have Royal Rumble 1988, the first televised one. Some say it's the first ever. Some say it's the first televised. We'll just go with first televised here. And we have it right there. Dark commentary. You get some exclusive news or some previews to news. You get some sneak peeks. You get all sorts of great stuff at FightfulSelect.com, and it is the best way to support Fightful as well. You just head on over there, subscribe. And we've decided to open up the valves here and let me flow into your homes via YouTube, folks, so that in celebration, right, of NXT TakeOver Phoenix happening this weekend. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. And we're going to start by talking about 205 Live. I'm so glad there's a whole bunch of people in the chat tonight. It's very active, very alive. I do mine live every week, by the way. You can come on over, jump in, have a chat. It's always a good time. So we're going to start talking about 205 Live, where we had Aiden English starting on commentary this evening. I thought he did an okay job. I mean, first time in commentary. Rumor going around is that this is something that English wanted to do. I mean, it's not as if they had anything better for him to do. It's not as if there was something critical that he was being kept away of from. Might as well have him do that. Between you and me, instead of having Percy going, ooh, at every move, oh, and then doing it again during the replays for the exact same move, I'm fine with having Aiden English hanging around with his deep baritone. I think, yeah, he's on to something. We'll see how it evolves over the next few weeks. You know, I'm sure Nigel will be able to guide him along. We had two matches on the card tonight. The first match was Gran Metalik versus Humberto Carrillo, who had his debut match on 205 Live net last week, answering the Buddy Murphy Open Challenge. But commentary tells us that this is his first match as an official member of the 205 Live roster. I guess last week he really was just a special guest. So we basically have a luchador match, and they shake hands to begin because sportsmanship between luchadors is important. There's a little back and forth with some arm locks, some leapfrogging and dodging. It's a stalemate to start. There's even a hurricane run on Carrillo, and he just lands on his feet. Some nice athleticism to start. Stereo drop kicks. They're at a complete and utter stalemate. They even kip up at the same time. That's how in sync they are. That's how they are completely in sync. Carrillo takes a Gran Metalik down with an arm drag, then a lucha arm drag. He hits a corkscrew dive over the top rope onto Metalik, who's on the outside. Suplexism covers him, but only gets two. Goes for a top rope moonsault, but Gran Metalik lifts the legs. Metalik comes back and he hits, well, what kind of looked like a bulldog move. Vic called it a reverse sling blade. I call shenanigans on that. Not quite sure that's what that was. Could be wrong. It didn't look like a reverse sling blade. If that's what a reverse sling blade looks like, they need to find another name for it. Metalik hits a drop kick off the off of some rope walking, covers Carrillo, but only gets two. Then we go into a chin lock sequence because nothing says lucha libre like a good old chin lock spot. We'll fast forward through this one. We'll get to, towards the end. Metalik at some point hits a fantastic running head scissors onto Carrillo, who is on the apron. He just flies, hits the head scissors, and flips both of them, flip himself and Carrillo off onto the floor. That was a nice move, pal. Then Metalik follows up with a really nice springboard senton and covers Carrillo, but only gets two. The end comes with a dropkick, missile dropkick by Carrillo, followed by a headstand into an Arabian press for the win. So Carrillo wins his first match as an official member of the 205 Live crew. This was an okay match, but I've seen a bit of a, over the past couple of weeks, found that there's been a trend that the opening matches somewhat slower than the usual 205 Live pace. And Carrillo is fine. Seems to me that his the couple of appearances he had on NXT were a lot more electrifying than this. Showed a lot more speed, a lot more explosiveness. There was, like, again, there's nothing wrong with this match, but you expect, like, when you expect two guys, especially who wrestle very similar styles, kind of expect them to pull a lot of stuff out. But then let's not forget, you know, this happened on the exact same night as the 2 out of 3 falls match between Andrade Cien Almas and Rey Mysterio. So, you know, maybe at some point, you know, you sort of, well, you know, you had Andrade and Mysterio do their thing. What are we going to do? Well, maybe we just can't compete with that. So that could be something. Next, we have, we're backstage and Jake Maverick, he's selling, basically, he's putting over Carrillo. Humberto Carrillo to Drew Gulak and Jack Gallagher, who are standing next to him. Gulak is pouting through his great thick beard now. He's literally pouting. He's got his arms crossed and he's not happy. Drake keeps saying that Carrillo is fantastic. He's great. Drew tries to intervene, but he's just too mad, man. He walks off. Jack Gallagher just stands there and he's shaking his head in disappointment at Drake Maverick. Then Tony Nese walks back in and he wants a rematch against Noam Dar, who won't shut up apparently about beating him. We're going to get a rubber match for that. I'm okay with that. Give me more Tony Nese, man. Next, Kalisto and Akira Tozawa cut promos regarding the Fatal 4-Way that's coming up at the Royal Rumble, which leads into our main event of the evening, a triple threat between the three challengers for Buddy Murphy's cruiserweight title at Royal Rumble. Kalisto, Akira Tozawa, and Hideo Itami, who cuts a promo, or at least Arya Daivari cuts half of a promo with him, for him. Everyone gets in the ring. They hit. They do their entrances. They get in the ring, and then Buddy Murphy comes out, and he joins commentary. Goes to sit around, and his presence would not be on commentary alone. His presence will be felt during the evening. The bell rings. Here we go. And Itami goes right after both guys, and he takes them both out. Tosses Tozawa out to the floor. But Kalisto fights back, hits a Hurricane Rana and a dropkick on Itami. Springboard arm drag by Kalisto sends Itami to the outside. Then Tozawa hits a missile dropkick on Kalisto that tosses him to the outside as well. Tozawa then hits the ropes and dives on Kalisto. You know, Akira Tozawa has one of the most missile-like suicide dives that you could possibly imagine. Like, he just goes really straight in. He has no respect for his head. He just goes in head first, right? And the way that he just connects with Kalisto here, he goes in full force, and Kalisto hits commentary table, hits his back into it, but really hard. That could not have felt good. Itami gets back in control over Tozawa, tries pinning him a couple of times, but Kalisto keeps getting out of the ring. Itami grounds Tozawa, elbows him repeatedly to the back. He goes after Kalisto then, who's on the outside, and he gets a really big boot right in Kalisto's face, up against the barricade. And nice, you know, one of these nice Itami hard kicks. Tozawa fights back, hits a Hurricane Rana on Itami, back the drop driver by Hideo. Then Kalisto comes off the top rope. Tozawa counters with a drop kick as Kalisto flies off the ropes. That was nicely timed. Tozawa then runs the ropes, goes for a dive on Kalisto, but instead eats a clothesline by Itami. And what a clothesline! Tozawa just flipped inside out. All three guys start striking at each other in the middle of the ring. It ends up with Kalisto and Itami having some shenanigans on the turnbuckle post. Tozawa joins in, and they're all up top. And that's where Buddy Murphy makes his presence felt. And he power bombs all three of those dudes off the top turnbuckle. It's no DQ, right? It's a triple threat. So everyone's free game here. Buddy goes after Itami, Kalisto, Tozawa. He's just beating the crap out of everyone. But then the baby faces, Kalisto and Tozawa, they double super kick the champ. Kalisto hits the Salida del Sol. Tozawa darts through the ropes and takes Murphy out. Kalisto follows up with a dive off to the ring to Tozawa on the outside. Then eats another Hideo Itami boot. Itami rolls Tozawa back into the ring. Falcon Arrow follows, covers, but only gets two. Tozawa fights back with a series of kicks. Eats a high cross body press by Kalisto. He gets covered, but again, kicks out at two. Kalisto then, there's some top rope events that happen, but it all comes to a head when Kalisto goes for a top rope Rana, but Tozawa holds the rope, so Kalisto goes flying off. Tozawa goes for the top rope senton, but Kalisto rolls out of the way. Itami then runs in with a diving drop kick on Kalisto. Sakura knee strike ends it. And Hideo Itami wins the triple threat. You know, odd, peculiar match to have before your four-way at Royal Rumble. You know, one of the things that's always fun about 205 Live is that, you know, they always try to add stakes to it. You know, the whole concept of, you know, having your matches and earning your position, earning your title shot against the champ, that's something that's very well ingrained through Drake Maverick's character. Kind of wonder what the point of this here was. because you know, technically speaking, if you're a real fighter, you know, that's not what I meant. If you're fighting, let's say, in any other type of sport than pro wrestling, and you have a title match coming up in a week, you're not going to go have a fight, like 5 days before the fight, 6 days. That doesn't make sense. John in the chat says this match needed a bear hug or a great wrist lock hold. John, ban yourself. That was 205 Live. So this is leading into, this was basically the go home show for the Royal Rumble for the cruiserweight, fatal four way match for the cruiserweight title at Royal Rumble. That will be on the pre-show. If you're wondering what my prediction is, well, we talked about that last night on the SmackDown Live post-show that I was privileged enough to join with Sean and Alex. And my prediction still stays the same as yesterday. Buddy Murphy retains. I don't know what you guys think in the chat, but for sure, Buddy Murphy hangs on to the title, in my opinion. He's not the chaser. He's the chasee. He's the final boss of 205 Live right now. Too early to take the title off of him. I honestly don't see anyone beating him for the title. I think Murphy is going to continue to solidify himself. He's going to beat three other guys, continue to solidify himself as a serious, real threat. Cody in the chat even thinks that Buddy Murphy is going to be champ until at least WrestleMania 35. I concur. I really do agree. Let's move on to NXT, where we start off the evening, the proceedings with the Velveteen Dream. Ooh, we haven't seen Dream in weeks, aside from some vignettes. Some video packages. We haven't seen him out here at all. The Dream has a microphone and he says, the Dream has a sparkle in his eye. He has a sparkle. He has the sparkle of championship gold. And you feel like he's getting ready to challenge Ricochet for the North American Championship. But that isn't going to happen because the Undisputed Era come out. More specifically, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. Adam Cole has a microphone himself. Actually, both guys do. Adam Cole says, comes out and he says, pump the brakes, Dream. Pump the brakes. Everyone knows 2019 will be the year of the Undisputed Era. Cole says that he and Fish will have gold soon and all of the Undisputed Era will have all the gold. This is what I'm doing with my arm tonight. I have all the gold. Look at that arm. He can continue to dream. He can continue to dream, but this dream is coming to an end. Fish gets on the mic. He starts talking and Full Sail immediately goes after him with some shut up Bobby chants. He basically backs up everything that Cole said, though. You know, he says 2019 will be undisputed. Velveteen Dream responds by saying that he's ready to dispute this claim, talking to Bobby Fish. But if it's okay with Adam, and Bobby Fish takes exception to that, does not appreciate giving the impression that Adam Cole gatekeeps him. He attacks. There's some exchanges that happen, but Velveteen, you know, smart guy, understands the concept of a two-on-one. He slides out of the ring, but this sets up a match for later on in the evening. It will be the main event. We have a very, very nice video package recapping Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair's journey up until this point here. That was really cool. I'm going to talk about TakeOver a little later on. give you my predictions. Next we have Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner. And when I saw this pop up, I said, you know what? This is going to be one. It's going to be one slappity slapper of a match, isn't it? And holy crap. Holy crap. This was a lot of fun. Bartel and Lorcan start off. Bartel hits him with the twin double chop, throat chop. Lorcan fights back with a chop of his own, and Bartel pushes him back into his corner. Aichner tags in. Bartel throws Lorcan into Aichner, who hits him with a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, covers Lorcan, but only gets two. Bartel and Aichner stomp on Orny. Stomp on Orny in the corner. He avoids a ton of offense from both heels and tags Danny Burch in. Danny Burch. You know what? Either of these guys. But really, Danny Burch is such a phenomenal hot tag. Like, at this point, they worked a crazy pace of a match here because it was relatively short. And, like, we're maybe, like, 2 minutes in. There shouldn't be a hot tag 2 minutes in. But Burch got the hot tag, and, man, he was the definition of what a hot tag needs to look like. He strikes hard at both heels, catches a leapfrogging Fabian Aichner by the leg, taking him down. A headbutt on Bartel. He catches Aichner in the corner. Enziguri's a missile drop kick. He kips up. Man, that was good. He tags Oney back in. They go for their finisher, but Bartel breaks it up. Aichner lariats the hell out of Oney Lorcan. Tosses Oney into Aichner, who brain busters him. It looked cool, but there was an edit there. You could tell. There was a bit of an edit. But it still looked good. There's a tope by Bartel onto Burch, who's on the outside. That was cool. Aichner with a springboard moonsault on Oney Lorcan covers him, but only gets two. And Nigel took the time to remind us that, well, commentary anyway, took the time to remind us that Fabian Aichner was in the original Cruiserweight Classic. He's put on the weight, but man, he can still do the high-flying stuff. That was cool. They get Lorcan up in an electric chair position. Bartel goes on the top rope, flies off with a European uppercut. Oney falls to the floor, but Oney actually rolls through and gets Aichner into a single crab. Burch tries to come in, but Bartel nails him. Bartel knocks Oney down to break the submission. Then lariats Burch out of the ring. Oney then starts striking on Aichner, hits a running European uppercut, then dives on Burch and Bartel on the outside. Aichner hits a running flying body press off the top rope or the top turnbuckle to everyone on the outside. That was nuts. But then Aichner misses with a springboard move that allows Oney to roll him up. Bartel wants to, for the pin, Bartel wants to come in to break it up, but Burch is holding on to him. He can't make it. And Lorcan and Burch win. What a pace these guys ran. That was nuts. You know, Lorcan and Burch, quite frankly, this is exactly the kind of pace that they work all of their matches. They're, you know, we always seem to forget these guys when we're talking about exciting tag teams to watch. They always deliver. And Bartel and Aichner is such a fantastic combination. They're two great, talented wrestlers. Put them together. They're working really well together. They're able to maintain these high cardio matches. That was a lot of fun. This match was the most fun match of the night on NXT right now. So that was cool. Next, we had another tag team match. This time it was Kairi Sane and Io Shirai. against Tana Brooks and Amber Nova. And it's Shirai and Nova who start the match. Crowd is hot for Shirai here. She hits a shotgun dropkick early on. The baby faces double team Nova. Same with the hits a single chop. Shirai and then the team both like fall to the mat, and they end up tripping Nova up. I'm not quite sure in this little sequence here if that was exactly the double team offense that Shirai and Sane wanted to pull off. It looked a little off. Still effective, but it still looked a little off. Sane hits the sliding D in the corner on Nova. Brooks distracts as Sane goes to the top rope, probably looking for the insane elbow. And that allows Nova to knee Kyrie in the face. Sane fights back with an interceptor spear then. Shirai is in with some strikes of her own. Hesitation, basement dropkick, 619. Springboard double drop kick on both of the heels by Io Shirai. She hits a spine buster. Sane does an assisted elbow drop. And Shirai does an assisted moonsault. Covers, and that's that. A nice quick little enhancement match for the faces here. Cut backstage after the match. They're having a quick interview. And Kyrie says, me and my best friend are going to take care of business together. And they hug. They side hug. They smile. They're adorable. And then you have Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir arrive. They say, oh, aren't you too cute? They talk a little trash. I'm going to tell you one thing. Duke and Shafir, they need to work on their promos. It was a little awkward. Not bad, just a little awkward. You know, then here's another thing. I think it's a good idea for Sane and Shirai to work together like this, because you can tell in the ring right now, Kyrie has completely adapted to working a style that will work, that will get her over with the North American crowd, right? Like she, everything she does, her mannerisms, the way that she takes the time to react to the audience. Whereas Shirai is, she's not quite there yet. Doesn't work the crowd in the same way. Doesn't create the same kind of connection. It's not bad, but you can tell that Shirai doesn't have that confidence yet, or that just the nuances to help get her over with the crowd. So I think this is good. I mean, they are best friends in real life to begin with, which is actually really good for both of them if they continue working together. Get some perfection, right? Just mold her into something that works better for the audiences in North America. We have our main event match, not the main event of the evening. We have Bobby Fish versus the Velveteen Dream. Bobby Fish starts with some striking, but Velveteen dodges a spinning kick by Fish. Dream early on establishing the fact that he understands that this is a two-on-one situation. He's keeping an eye on Adam Cole, making sure that old Adam isn't up for some shenanigans. Dream shoulder blocks. Bobby Fish shoulder blocks Dream down. He gets scooped up though for the Dream Valley Driver, or the Dream Valley Bomb. They're calling it now. It seems to me it was the Dream Valley Driver. Is this new? Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Wouldn't be the first time. But Fish is able to squirm out of it. He dodges more kicks. Springboard spinning elbow on Fish, who rolls out of the ring. There's a lot of evasion that happens, a lot of avoiding moves. Dream hits a springboard dropkick onto Bobby Fish on the apron, who tumbles to the outside. And then Dream goes up to the top turnbuckle post, flies off with a double axe handle right to the floor. Back in the ring, Dream starts clubbing him with some forearms to the back. Straight punches follow, but Fish gets Dream back to the outside, and Dragon Screw leg whips him right into the barricade. And Fish goes to work on Dream's knee. He hits a slingshot senton on Dream, covers him, but only gets one. He chop blocks Dream down, flips him over into a single leg crab. But Dream rolls over and kicks Bobby Fish off. A couple of big knees by Velveteen Dream. Dropkick off the turnbuckle covers him, but only gets two. Dream strikes Fish down, kicks him in the leg some more. He runs the ropes, but Dream hits a spine buster. He starts going up to the top rope for the big elbow drop. The purple rainmaker. Bit of an odd spot here. I think something must a little bit of miscommunication because he hits the purple rainmaker, but Fish no sells it and reverses it into a knee bar. Okay. Dream eventually goes to reach the ropes, but Adam Cole is there and he tugs on the ropes to keep him away from Velveteen's hands. Just away from the tips of his fingers. At first, the ref doesn't see it, but then eventually he does, and he starts shouting after Cole. Fish releases the hold, goes to argue with the ref and Adam Cole, but then he gets rolled up into a pinning position. He kicks out, but Dream picks him up for the Dream Valley Bomb. Fish is tossed into Cole onto the outside. He gets back into the ring. He goes for Dream goes for the DVD for the death for the Dream Valley Bomb, but Fish avoids it again. He gets tossed to the outside onto Adam Cole. There we go. We'll get there. Gets back in. He eats it. He eats the Dream Valley Bomb this time, and then the flying elbow, the purple rainmaker, connects again, and Velveteen gets the win. You know, after seeing this, you know, I would dig an Adam Cole Velveteen Dream feud. That would be fantastic, just on the pure showmanship of it, the promos. That'd be fantastic. I don't know if this is something that we might expect a little past Phoenix, take over Phoenix, heading down the line a bit. But that would be really, really fun. It could also be nothing. Could be just a one-off here. I think everyone is expecting to see Velveteen Dream at the Royal Rumble. What do you guys in chat think, guys and gals? That's what I'm thinking. I feel like it's a shoo-in for that one. Because Velveteen Dream isn't on the Takeover Phoenix card, but he is in the Worlds Collide tournament, right? Seems to me. I don't think they'd have him come down just for that. Pretty sure the Dream is going to be there in the Royal Rumble. Next week, we're getting the Forgotten Sons versus Street Profits because we can't get enough of Sanity Jr., can we? And we're also getting the Kairi Sane and Io Shirai versus Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir match. These are all actually going to happen at TakeOver Phoenix. They're going to be dark matches. Be broadcast next week on the on NXT. Next week, NXT is going to be mostly a recap show. A couple of matches. So we'll see what happens. Main event segment for the end here. We have Ricochet coming out with the North American Championship. He takes umbrage to being super kicked by Johnny Gargano last week. He says 2019 Gargano was the same as 2018 Gargano, showing that he's a liar and deceitful, that he only cares about his miserable self. A very, very soft promo by Ricochet. That was very low key, lacked a little oomph. Let me say that again. It lacked a little oomph. But that's fine. It didn't last too long because Johnny Gargano's music hit. He comes out talking. He enters the ring. And as he's talking, tries to sucker punch Ricochet. They start brawling. But Ciampa comes in and he sucker punches Ricochet. And then we start getting DIY chants from the audience. Gargano and Ciampa are staring at each other. Not sure exactly what to make of the situation. But Gargano takes advantage of the situation, starts some ground and pound on Ricochet. As Ciampa up in the ring, because this was happening on the outside, Ciampa is up in the ring and he's applauding. He's very proud, very, very proud of his Johnny. And as this is happening, as Ciampa is applauding, he doesn't realize that Aleister Black has hit the ring and he's coming after Tommaso. He starts beating him up, but then Johnny's done with Ricochet. He sees that Ciampa's in trouble and he goes in after Black and he super kicks him. More DIY chance, because of course there's more DIY chance. Ciampa pounds Black. Ricochet goes after Gargano, but he knocks him down again. Gargano with the springboard DDT in the meanwhile, and Ciampa hits Project Ciampa on Black. The baby faces are dead. Rest in peace, man. Gargano and Ciampa walk away from the ring. They go to the top of the ramp. They stare at each other in complete silence. And the thing they've been building to, very, very slowly, Tommaso Ciampa extends a hand. Oh, yeah, and Cyborg. That's right, Cyborg. Meanwhile, people in the audience, thank you, Cyborg, in the chat. In the meantime, people in Full Sail is chanting, hug it out. Oh, the audience wants this. Ciampa extends the hand and Johnny is sort of taken aback and he's sort of, you feel like he's going in to shake his hand. People are digging it. They're chanting. And then Candice LeRae runs out to keep her husband from shaking Ciampa's hand, saying, you're not going to do this. And inadvertently, Candice LeRae becomes the biggest heel of the night. Because this is kind of what we all wanted at this point, right? Dark DIY. Dark it yourself, man. That would be so... Well, I mean, we're starting the new year. Phoenix is the first takeover of the year. Well, I really feel is going to set up a whole new slew of storylines, because then we're going to start getting a feel as to who is going to be called up. I don't think there's going to be any immediate call-ups. Not while they still haven't figured out what to do with Lacey Evans, with EC3, with Heavy Machinery starting. Maybe they might call up Aleister Black. They might call him up because they have a vacancy. We don't know what's going on with Lars Sullivan. Last we heard is exactly the same thing we heard, 2 weeks ago now? that he had an anxiety attack, a panic attack. It's been radio silent since. Triple H on the media call said that, you know, the situation is pretty much the same and they have to move forward. I mean, there's room for Aleister Black on main. He is main roster ready. He has been main roster ready for a while. So we'll see how this goes down, but like, I don't think there's going to be all that many call-ups. And if they're going to keep pushing the Ciampa Gargano storyline into this new chapter where they're friends again, but dastardly heels, I think they're going to be sticking around NXT for a while still. Quick predictions for NXT TakeOver Phoenix this weekend. Talked about it last night again on the SmackDown post show with Alex and Sean. Sean and Alex, depending on how you feel about it. Let me pull up the let me just pull this up here just to make sure I don't forget anything. We have Matt Riddle versus Cash Asono. I mean, at this point, Matt Riddle is going to overcome. They're going to have the competitive match. It's not going to be a squash. They're going to go even further than their match they did a couple of weeks ago. And these guys should work well together. Should be a good slobber knocker, as a wise man once said. This should be a lot of fun. It'll have time. It won't be just a quick in and out here. But Riddle's going over. Ricochet versus Johnny Gargano in what potentially will be the match of the night. This is going to be so good. Johnny Gargano, arguably the best worker in the entire company, not just NXT, against Ricochet, who, you know, you let that guy cut loose. Oh boy, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is one of these matches that I really don't care about the outcome because the match is going to be great. But I would dig it so much if Johnny Gargano won the North American Championship and dark it yourself. Dark DIY, whatever you want to call them. They have the gold, man. Ooh. Ooh. Undisputed Era versus the War Raiders. I don't see Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong dropping them again. I really don't. I think they're the gold standard. I think War Raiders don't have not that they're fantastic, just haven't had proper buildup. I really think Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong hang on to the titles till the Dusty Classic. I really, really do. Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair. I don't see Shayna dropping the title. Not yet, anyway. Let's give him a program. Let's have another match between the two. Then give it to Bianca. I just do not see Shayna dropping it. If she does, if Shayna Baszler drops the title this weekend, they are pulling the trigger on the Four Horsewomen. You can be damn sure of that. Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black. My heart says Aleister Black because I am an Aleister Black fan. But my brain says Tommaso Ciampa. That is what makes the most sense. And I would love if Aleister, I would love if all this entire roster of NXT right now, all the entire card, all the players, women, dudes, I wish they all would stay in NXT and don't go risk it up on main. I really don't. But if there's one guy who's ready to go up, it's Aleister Black. And I think there's an opening for him now that Lars Sullivan is MIA. So that's that for NXT. Let's talk about NXT UK post. We're still in takeover Blackpool hangover mode. Pete Dunne comes out. He has the champion chip. 610 days. They were saying over 610 days. The right man won at Blackpool for sure. Basically, cuts a promo where he said that they made history at NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool. said the brand has changed a lot over the past 2 years, but one thing has remained since TakeOver Chicago in May 2017, and he's still the champ. But that brings Gallus out. Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, Wolfgang. Wolfgang, who is slowly transforming into Michael P.S. Hayes. Coffey's pissed. He says that, he wants his rematch. He's taking his place at the front of the line. But the lights go out. Walter comes. He hits the ring to some huge Walter chants. The Gallus boys are holding back Joe Coffey, who steps out of the ring. He steps out of the ring, but Wolfgang and Mark Coffey, they hit the ring to try to attack the Pete Dunne and Walter, but they get taken out. Dunne and Walter trade glares. He stares at Dunne's belt. And we have, this is our next setup, guys and gals. And to be completely frank, even though I'm Warren, Walter is, he's a credible guy to the, he's credible enough to end Dunne's historic championship streak. He really is. He's super credible enough to do it. Next, we have Sid Scala, who's backstage, and he's talking to. Okay, he talks about. He actually mentions the Worlds Collide event this weekend. He says that not only is NXT UK going to be there, and they're going to be taping some NXT UK shows there as well, but he says, I really want the NXT UK brand to go in there and perform, and I want them to show that we're the superior brand. And I'm like, wait a second. Why is NXT UK the only brand out of the three competing? Have you heard first and foremost about this? I think a lot of you, I don't know how if it's flying under everyone's radar or not, but during the Access event of Royal Rumble weekend, they're having a tournament where superstars of 205 Live, NXT and NXT UK are basically having a tournament to determine brand superiority. But I mean, that technically that's what it is. And this is the first I've actually heard about it on any of those three competing brands. And it's Sid Scala, the assistant to Johnny Saint, who's like, well, you know, we really should win this because it'll show all them other brands that we Brits, we're not to be trifled with. You know. But it's really strange. Like, he makes a mention of it. No one else does. Gibson and Drake come in. Sid then tries to talk to them, but Zach Gibson, he shuts him down. He says, Oh, yeah. Well, until we, you know, when we weren't champions, all you guys wanted to, you only wanted to talk to Mustache Mountain. Now you want to talk to us. Well, it's going to be on our time, and we're talking next week. That's fine. When we come back to commentary, Nigel refers to Sid Scala as Slimy Squid Scala. That got a chuckle out of me. I like that. Nina Samuels comes out, and she's facing Lana Austin. You know, they put over the fact really hard. Lana is a single mother of three children, that she's pursuing her dream. That everyone, that everyone cried when she finally got the call, the opportunity to come to NXT UK, that her kids are so proud of her. Man, this is the exact same type of setup that happened to Goose in Top Gun. They telegraphed this ending pretty hard. There's a lot of back and forth. Well, a little back and forth, actually, to begin with. Austin hits a European uppercut and a basement dropkick on Samuels. Covers her, only gets two. She charges Samuels into the corner, but Samuels' boots are in the face. She tangles Austin up in the ropes, hits a dropkick to her back. Covers her, only gets two. Samuels is crisp, man. She is so good. She's in control. She hip tosses her, a snapmare, covers Austin for two. She has, Samuels has Austin in a stretch, but Austin hits a side Lushen leg sweep to get out of it. She clotheslines Samuels down, another running European uppercut. And a rolling forearm gets Samuels down and gets covered for 2.7. Samuel hits, but the match comes to an end when Samuel hits her finisher, the Prima Donna, a fireman's carry into a neck breaker for the win. That was cool. I like me some Nina Samuels, man. Push her to the moon. She's a legitimate pro. Like, she can go. Look fantastic here. Mustache Mountain are backstage with Ratzi, who recently said that he would not be against wrestling, that he's proud to be part of the NXT UK brand. He's great, you know, happy to be a talent, but, you know, he's not above the idea of hitting the ring and actually wrestling. Check out that report, Fightful.com. They're disappointed. I'm just happy I made a really nice segue. Sue me. The Mustache Mountain are disappointed that they came up short, that they're not the first ever NXT UK tag team champions, but they're coming after the titles nonetheless. But then on the flip side, we see a smiling, happy Toni Storm, who is smiling and happy to be the NXT UK champion, that she's going to do everything in her power to step it up. Eddie Dennis versus Jamie Ahmed. Dennis coming off his loss at NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool against Dave Mastiff in a snoozer of a DQ, no DQ match. That was the kind of match that sucks the air out of the room. But still, Eddie Dennis is a good worker. Charges right in with some huge forearms. Ahmed fights back, gets a hip toss. Both guys look for leverage, and Dennis lariats Ahmed down. He whips him into the corner hard. Dennis gets Ahmed into a cravat, and Ahmed tries to roll out of it a couple of times, but Dennis just will not let go of the hold. He tosses Ahmed out of the ring. He elbows Ahmed to the floor, slams him. He goes for the severed bridge, but Ahmed gets out of it, and he falls in with some punches. Nigel talking about his boxing background. A big kick as well follows. He goes up top, but Dennis hits him with a big, big boot. He climbs up the ropes, hits a stalling superplex, and the next stomp driver for the win. Eddie Dennis curing himself from his loss. Good for him. We have next week, Mustache Mountain versus Aichner and Bartel. Ooh. I'm going to keep the hose nice and close for that one. That is going to be sick. It's going to be a fun one. Speaking of fun ones, woo! My boy, Jordan Devlin versus Travis Banks. This is a rematch of the match at TakeOver NXT Black, NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool. That did not happen. We had instead Finn Balor come out. It was a good move. It was a good call to have Balor come out. I thought it was smart. Created a nice moment. Surprise. Crowd popped huge. It was a nice moment. But you know what? If we had got this match at Blackpool as well, nothing to be embarrassed about. This was fantastic. But of course it was fantastic. Jordan Devlin was involved. And they go right after each other like this, you know, it's a fight. Yeah, let's not forget, Jordan Devlin injured Banks, attacked him before the match, took out his knee, which prevented Banks from fighting, and that's why they had the plan B with Finn Balor. Sure, you call Finn Balor in as a plan B. You know, stories. But they go right after each other. Devlin and Banks do, with a lot of strikes. Banks kicks and clotheslines Devlin out of the ring, hits a dive on Devlin. Devlin goes around the ring, and Banks hits another dive on Devlin. Devlin tries to flee over the barricade, and they are in the crowd. They are fighting in the crowd. Banks kicks him right in the chest, sends the ace over the barricade. Flying body press off the barricade onto Devlin. Banks is on fire, and the crowd is hot for this. They are all in on this one. He charges Devlin, who dodges, hoping that Banks will run into the steel steps, but Banks stops just before he hits them. But Devlin chop blocks him instead. Devlin tries to injure the knee again on the steps, kind of like what he did at TakeOver, but Banks fights back and hits a double stomp off the apron onto Devlin's back. Cool stuff. Throws him back into the ring. Devlin tries to beg off, and instead starts eating some yes kicks, followed by a super kick. Travis Banks goes to the top, goes to the turnbuckle, but Devlin is right behind him and hits a backstabber off the turnbuckle, just pulling Banks off. Then Devlin starts striking, chokes him on the top rope. He hits an across-the-shoulder backbreaker on Banks, covers him, only gets two. Hits the Uranage, followed by the standing moonsault. Class, vintage Devlin covers Banks again, but only gets two. He gets Banks' arm into a bar, but Banks fights out of it. He gets thrown into the ropes. He gets thrown into the ropes and eventually ends up in a bow and arrow, but Banks fights out of that. There's a series of counters that happen. Both guys end up on the apron. Devlin shoves Banks into the post and follows with a Spanish fly off the apron to the floor. You got that right, my boy Devlin. He tries to keep Banks on the outside to win via 10 count. He actually, this was a nice little moment. He pushes Banks right into the barricade at 9. Devlin jumps right into the ring. And just before the referee hits 10, Banks dives in. Nice little moment of some quick drama there. Banks battles back. He runs the ropes. And Devlin catches him in another Spanish fly. But Banks is such a house of fire, he just pops right up, no sells it, like he's some guy in New Japan wrestling. Just pops right back up. And he grabs Devlin's wrist. He has the grip on Devlin. Devlin tries to break out of it. He punches it. But Banks is not letting go. He's intense. He's full of adrenaline. He starts getting some short arm punches in, short arm knee, but Devlin fights back with a headbutt. Both guys are tumbled down. Devlin hits a short arm backdrop driver on Devlin, covers him for 2.9. Hits a moonsault, but Banks lifts the knees. Hesitation dropkick by Banks. Kiwi crusher, but Devlin kicks out at 2.9. Devlin gets Banks gets Devlin standing back up. They are spent, and Devlin is out. He's out on his feet. He's dead weight, spaghetti legs. But Banks gets him back up on his feet, goes for the slice of heaven. It misses because Devlin collapses out of fatigue. They both regain their senses. Devlin goes for the Ireland's call, but tumbles out to the floor with Banks on his shoulders. And we get a 10 count, double count out. And I am okay with this. Yes, these guys, both of these guys, I gush a lot on Jordan Devlin and with reason. But I mean, Travis Banks is a fantastic worker as well. Put both these guys together all the time, all the time. This was great. And if they cut the match here, they cut it short, and they're ready to give them a program, have them fight each other again. Whoo. There's going to be a Spanish fly party, folks. Spanish Fly Party. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up here. Why not? Well, because it's time. But I want to thank everyone who joined tonight on this free preview of the Fightful Select NXT 205 Live NXT UK recap show. Do this every Wednesday over on FightfulSelect.com. Subscribe. Head on over. FightfulSelect.com. It's your best. It is the best way to support Fightful. Get all sorts of content. And, you know, we're getting more and more subscribers all the time. And here's the thing. Here's the big secret. And if we get more subscribers, we just create more content then on Fightful Select. That's all we want to do. We like to talk about wrestling. We like to go on about wrestling. We like to exchange with you fine folks about wrestling. So the more we do it, the more people we get in here, the more stuff we'll create, and that'll be fantastic. But thank you very much for coming over, watching the free preview tonight. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can. It's at Mr. Warren Hayes, or on my own YouTube channel as well, MrWarrenHayes.com. If you're not subscribed to Fightful, the Fightful YouTube channel, hit the button right here. Subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Those are also fantastic ways to support the good work at Fightful.com. I'm Mr. Warren Hayes, and I will see you next time.